Welcome to Reboot Republic, the podcast that goes behind the headlines and looks at the big issues in this republic of inequality. We are the podcast of solutions and the podcast of hope, and I'm your host, Rory Hearn. And today we have a story about how the housing crisis is affecting someone, their family. And it is an incredible story, and one that is, I think, a lot of people will be quite, I think, affected by listening to it. I was, but also I think a story that needs to be told. It is David's story and his partner who are facing, they've been given a notice to quit, facing eviction in April next year in a home that they've lived in for years, that they've made their home. And it really, I think, is important that we take the time to listen to this, to connect with it, to the emotion that David expresses. Because we need to connect to these stories, these human stories of the housing crisis. Too much of the discussion is around jargon, around statistics, around policy, and not actually what is actually going on to people out there and happening to them. What are they feeling? What is it experiencing? What does home mean? And this is the change we need to make. So I really appreciate David giving his time to tell his story. And if you have a story, if you want to tell yours, you can contact me at rebootrepublic@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at Rory Hearn or at Reboot Pod, or on Instagram. We want to try and put out these stories to get these voices heard. There is a huge power in that. We saw it in repeal. We saw it in marriage equality. To get the change, we need a value shift, a culture shift in how we see housing and how we see it and what it's doing to people. So again, I appreciate that time that David gave. And if you do want to tell your story, let us know. We want to try cover more of these stories, get them out there. If you are affected by this in any way, you can contact Threshold, which is a housing charity which works with renters. There's also the CATU Tenants Union as well. And Focus Ireland. So take care. And I hope this you do find this engaging and useful and as powerful as I did as a motivator for why we need to change and end this housing crisis. So David, listen, thanks so much for joining me on Reboot Republic and to talk about your story of the housing crisis and potentially facing into homelessness. It's so important that I think we hear people's stories, that people understand what is actually going on. And maybe briefly you could explain, you know, just what is your situation?
Well, my situation, Rory, is my partner and I have lived in what we would call our home for the past 10, 11 years. We have never had the opportunity to be able to buy, mainly because I didn't earn enough, we didn't earn enough, and we didn't have enough savings to put down a deposit. Because yeah, when you're renting, that rent is what my partner and I would call dead money.
Yeah.
You can't put enough money to one side to go to the bank and say, right, well, we've got a deposit, we'd like to try and get a mortgage. I'm now at the age of, I will be 62 when we get evicted. My partner will be 58. And it's tough. It's tough for the older renters. I think that we're the forgotten generation.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, we're the forgotten generation of renters. And it's not until you're faced with this situation that you're going to get evicted, you're being evicted, that you suddenly realize how bad this country has gotten to. And they talk about housing for all, but it's not for all. And if I get emotional here, I apologize, because I've been trying so hard to keep my feelings suppressed. You try to put a brave face on things. It doesn't work. It does get you. It affects your mental health, your physical health. My partner and I were talking about this the other day, the other morning. We were actually sat up in bed, and I'd woken up at 6:30 in the morning. I was on a night off. I couldn't sleep, and I just woke up 6:30 and said, oh, we'll stop this. We'll stay up. And we were actually talking and talking and talking about the situation, about other people in this situation. And I just turned around and said to her, you know what? I feel as if I need to go and see my GP. I want to go and get antidepressants. You know, and this is how it is. This is how it affects you. We've had people saying, oh, yeah, but there's other people in that situation. Didn't you know about them before that? And I'm sort of going, well, yes. You know, and we've both my partner and I, every year, it probably doesn't sound a lot, but we do toy boxes for the homeless children for Christmas. You know, might sound trivial, but to those kids, it's their version of Santa has come.
Yeah.
You know, and Santa isn't going to come for me. You know, it isn't going to come for us. It's taken us 4 weeks to get our application through to our local council just to apply to get on the housing list. You know, so much paperwork needed to get onto this, you know, and we could be waiting 10, 20 years, you know, to get a house from the council. We've looked at accommodation. We've looked at, you know, other places to rent around here, and average is 1,800, 2,200. 2,200 is what I earn in a month. My partner, unfortunately, she's not working. My wages primarily go on rent. We end up with about 600 or 700 left in the month to work on. But that has to include travel costs to my place of work. There's no public transport there. Then you're talking about food, electricity, heating bills. And come the winter, our heating bills shoot up. As I explained to you on one of my messages, in this house, we have windows we don't open because the latches don't work. We've got tin foil around the inside of the frames to stop the drafts getting in. When we moved in, our landlord said, oh, yeah, no problem. I'll sort that out. It's got progressively worse over time. And we've even got a window taped up with Gorilla tape to stop any draft coming in, both on the outside and on the inside. We've had issues with damp that I've actually had to resolve myself. You know, he bought his land agent in or value state agent in. Yeah. Oh, I'll get that sorted. Well, it's actually quicker for me to do it.
And David, you know, just like it's a story that I know, you know, thousands and thousands, as you say, of renters are going through this right now. And we are going to see this year thousands of renters being evicted, like in your situation. Just in terms of yours, what was the reason the landlord gave for your leaving, your termination?
Selling the property. that's he said many, many years ago, oh, I won't sell the property. I'll never sell the property. The house is yours for as long as you want it, need it. And I had just come off a night shift, and it had been a late shift, and I didn't get in until about 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't go to sleep straight away, mainly because the morning to me is my evening.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And what do you work at, David?
I'm a forklift driver for a national distribution center.
Yeah.
Company, and so I generally leave the house at 8 o'clock at night. I'm not back until about six, maybe half six in the morning. So it's long shifts. You know, it's a long day or night. And my wife came up to me. The post had come in early that day, about 8:30 in the morning. And she woke me up and said, guess what we've just got? And I said, what have we got? There's me thinking, maybe we've got a good surprise or something.
Yeah.
No, it was the eviction notice. And I was sort of, to say stunned would be an understatement. We were both absolutely shocked at this. How can you do this? He said, this is our home. Treat it like your home. Yeah, we've treated it like a home, but we've done the work for him.
Yeah.
And my partners, where I'm actually talking to you from now is what we call the small room. It's a spare room that I sleep in during the day so I don't disturb my partner. We totally refurbished it. It was, it had a carpet on the floor. There was, the damp was there. We've lifted the carpet out. We resealed the floor, put down new flooring, sorted out the damp problem in the roof and the ceiling here. In our main living area, again, totally decorated. And we've got, when you have a home, you collect stuff because you think you're going to be there. You buy stuff. You buy household items, new furniture. Yeah, because the old furniture, that wasn't great. New furniture, new fittings. And this we'll be leaving behind because we don't know where we're going. We don't know where we're going.
And absolutely, it is those things. That is what your home is. Your home is for your things, your memories,
your memories. Yeah, and we have made good memories here. We have made good memories, and we've got to walk away from it. We've got to walk away from it. I mean, even to the point of the garden and everything else. I mean, I built up a recycled decking area. And that was our pride and joy. Sit out there in the summer evenings, and we had a guy yesterday come in to sweep our chimney, and saying to him, this is the last time you'll be sweeping the chimney for us. And I explained the situation. And I said, but come out the back, I've got firewood for the winter.
He went,
what? I said, yeah. I'll just take it all apart, cut it down. That's our heating for the winter. as crazy as it sounds, this is what we're looking at.
And how long do you have left, David, in terms of time?
April 10th of next year, we got the notice 6 months ago. Yeah, because he had to give us 10 months notice, and we've been looking everywhere trying to get trying to find alternative accommodation. As I said to my partner, we are not committed now. We can move out if we find somewhere. But there is nowhere. There is nowhere, and rents are just going up and up and up. Plus, we have a 12-year-old dog, blind, deaf.
Yeah.
We've got to take that decision. What do we do? Do we go for euthanasia for the dog? That dog's been part of our life for 10 years. We rehomed her. And we're sort of like, we're going to have to put her down. Because so many places we've been looking at, no pets. Pets are a family as well.
They are, absolutely.
And it is sort of, it does get depressing. And so you try to put a brave face on it every day, and it doesn't work. It's affecting our home life. It's affecting my work life. Whereas at work, I'd normally be there, Nowadays, I'm sort of like, people are trying to talk to me. How are you today? Whereas normally you say, I'm fine. Nowadays, I go, no, I'm not good.
Yeah.
But they don't want to hear that. Yeah. They don't want to hear that, I'm not good. I'm effing depressed. I'm fed up of it gets hard.
It absolutely just, it's your world been taken away from you. Our home is our world, and I've been highlighting it and working on it in terms of that idea that, these things can't be just looked at property. It has to be seen as a home. And I think what you have talked about there shows that so fundamentally. Home is a human right, and it's fundamental. And
yeah, exactly. I mean, everyone has a right to a roof over their head, and this housing for all that Brian is pushing forward is not even the affordable. I mean, I've said it on my Twitter feeds, where I use the hashtag Broken Island. It's not housing for all. It's housing for those that can afford it.
Yeah, yeah.
They forget about, again, the older generation of renters, and there's a lot of us in this situation. I didn't realise how many older renters there actually are. But it also affects, the younger renters. To middle-aged renters, to rent some of these places, you have to have an above-average income.
Yeah,
I earn $24,000 a year net. I've seen places, Rory, $3,300 a month. Who can afford that? It's only the likes of people that have to be earning $12,000 a month.
Yeah.
Even if they're earning $50,000 a year, that they couldn't afford to be paying that. I certainly can't afford that. My wages would be gone. I'd be in debt.
Yeah. And what do you, because you mentioned on your Twitter bio, you describe yourself as ex-renter becoming homeless. Do you feel that you are going to become homeless? Do you worry about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I do. Before all this happened, my bio was totally different, And now I'm just sort of going, yeah. And I do worry about homelessness. And I do worry about you know, God forbid, will we be on the streets? Well, are we going to be put into hostel accommodation? You know, and if we are, that is not something I'm going to look forward to. You hear so many horror stories about these places, you know, and at our ages, it's not something I look forward to. It's something I don't look forward to. It's scary. It is scary. I just don't. I look out the window now. It's pouring down with rain. I'm sort of going, could that be us wandering the streets? You know, because we haven't got anywhere to go to. We need to get to sheltered accommodation. We need to make the phone call to be in there by 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night. And then, oh, you're out again by 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, they're going to put us up in bed and breakfast, you know. And again, oh, you have to be in by a certain time. Well, hang on, I work nights. I can't be in at a certain time, you know. I've got a colleague that was made homeless, wife, two children, and he had to put his two kids with their, you know, his parents. And him and his wife, they were put into a hostel, separate rooms. And I'm sort of going, what? Separate? And I said, no. I wouldn't let that happen with us. We wouldn't survive. We wouldn't survive it. No.
It's in terms of what you think, and I know it's hard in your situation, you know, to try and think about, you know, what government should be doing, because you must just be filled with such anger and frustration that. What do you think government should do? Do you think there should be a ban on evictions for a period of time? Do you think like landlords should not be able to evict and selling property if a tenant is, it's their home?
So definitely. I think there should be a ban. And I mean, during the surge of the pandemic, you know, oh yeah, ban on evictions. The pandemic is still happening.
Yeah.
But regardless of that, there should be a ban on evictions. If landlords want to rent a property, then they should go into long-term leasing. You know, 20, 25 years. You know, so that people have a chance to make a life, to make a home, you know. And so we've been here 10 years, and this is our life, this is our home, and it's something we don't want to throw away lightly, you know. And it's when you sort of, when you say about, you know, look, the government needs to get its act together, I think, and look at the rental problem. It's not only the housing crisis, it's a renting crisis as well. More and more people going out and out on the street, and sad to say, I think I'm going to be one of them. We're going to be two of them. I keep speaking in the eye, but you know, there's two of us here. And
well, David, I really appreciate you taking the time to, you know, to tell your story. I think it's a very brave thing to do, and I can hear it, you know, and see it in you. You know, the emotional impact, and as you describe yourself, that, you know, the mental health impact, the devastation.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking for me to hear, and I can only imagine, you know, what you're going through.
Yeah. I mean, I get so angry angry at the situation, you know, but anger doesn't get you anywhere. Anger just drives you down rather than up.
Yeah.
And, you know?
And it's something that I suppose I do want to, again, you know, thank you for sharing your story, because I think it is so important that we hear stories like yours that put the human tragedy that is at the heart of this housing crisis. Mm. Because it is, we have to hear it, and we have to do something about it. And I think, I suppose all I can say to you is that we are trying to highlight it. You know, we're trying to highlight it in the hope that there will be change, that, you know, tenants do have a home. They have a right. You have a right to forever home, just as someone who's able to buy their home.
Exactly. Exactly. It's quite ironic. You see this couple in Dundalk doing the container homes. You know, yeah. Abby's done an RTE there. And so I went, that'd be ideal. One problem, land.
Yeah.
Where do you get land? You know?
Yeah. Well, listen, David, I really appreciate you giving your time. And I said, hopefully I know you will actually give other people who are going through it, you know, a sense that they're not alone as well.
Yeah. Well, this is it. I mean, I've seen it on Twitter, and you know, I'm following so many accounts, you know, to do with the homeless and yourself, and I've now actually got people following me. I think mainly because I'm getting, I wouldn't have been so vocal, so outspoken about it until I was in the situation.
Yeah.
And it's not only until you're in the situation you realize how bad the situation is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not just me, it's hundreds of us, you know, that are facing the street.
Yeah. Well, listen, as I said, thanks so much. And people can follow you on Twitter.
They certainly can, yeah.
Your Twitter handle is?
My Twitter handle is, I've got to try and remember it now. I'll tweet it to you. I'll tweet
Perfect.
It to you, then you can.
Absolutely. I'll put it up. But people can follow you on it. And they can contact us, and we will, you know, if people are listening, you know, we are trying to get more people to tell their story. So if you are interested in telling your story, you can contact me via Twitter, message me, or to rebootrepublic@gmail.com, or on Instagram. I'm on Instagram as well. And we want to share more of these stories to get people talking about it, so we do get the change in policy that's needed. We need a radical change in how we treat housing. And that's very clear from David's story. And as well, there are organizations like Threshold that you can contact as well, Focus Ireland, others. And of course, the new tenants and community union, CATU, as well, is trying to support people. So there are organizations there to support people. So we thank you so much, David, for giving your time.
No, thank you. Thank you, Rory, for taking the time to listen.
Welcome to Reboot Republic, the podcast that goes behind the headlines and looks at the big issues in this republic of inequality. We are the podcast of solutions and the podcast of hope. And I'm your host, Rory Hearn. And today is a part of our series, which we are working on, looking at stories of the housing crisis, the personal and human side. I've been contacted by a lot of people who are really being devastated by the housing crisis, facing homelessness, rents, people emigrating, people in really difficult situations. And I want to try bring some of these stories to you in the podcast and try and get them out it is something that I've talked about before, about the that we need a movement, a new movement of equality in Ireland that is around the housing crisis, that is around the right to a home, that we achieve a home for all, a genuinely a home for all, that we need an equality movement that puts the centrality of home back in what housing should be. And you can send me your story if you want. I'm on Twitter at Reboot or at Rory Hearn. You can send me a message, or you can email rebootrepublic at rebootrepublic@gmail.com and send us a message, or send us if you have any ideas or comments as well. We'd love to hear them. But this is the first of our stories, and it is with David, and David's story is quite powerful when you hear it. David is one of what he calls the forgotten generation of renters. He's in his early 60s, and he's going to be, he's been served an eviction letter from his landlord. He's going to leave his home of over 10 years in April 2022. He doesn't know where him and his partner will be able to afford to rent. He faces homelessness, and he talks in really emotional ways about how this is impacting on them, and how what he thinks as well needs to be done. But it's a really important story that needs to be heard. You can follow David on Twitter. He's David Patrick. His Twitter handle is at Saracen48. That's S-A-R-A-C-E-N 48. And yeah, we want to keep sharing these stories. So if you have a story to tell on the housing crisis, how you're impacted by it, please contact us and let us know. And a reminder as well to our listeners that we appreciate if you are a patron, a supporter of ours. Reboot Republic has no ads, no sponsorship. We rely completely on our patrons, that is people who sign up to become a patron each month. You can go to €2 or €3 a month, or fiver or tenner, whatever you have, sign up each month, and it helps us keep these podcasts going. Tony Grove is the producer on Tortoise Track Media, produces the podcasts. And he does it as his job. It's his work. It's not a hobby. Without Tony and the Tortoise Shack, Reboot Republic would not exist and would not be able to continue. So if you can, please go over, sign up for the price of a cup of coffee each month and help us to keep going. And I think you will find David's story quite powerful, and hopefully we can share it far and wide and get some real change to solve the housing crisis. And that was David there, and really want to thank him, as he said, for giving his time, for being brave and speaking up. And hopefully many more will come forward as well to share their story. And as I said at the start, if you're interested in sharing your story, you can contact us at rebootrepublic@gmail.com, or we're on Twitter at Reboot or at Rory Hearn, or on Instagram as well at Rory Hearn as well. You can contact us. And a reminder, that, yeah, let us know if you have a story. And Reboot Republic is reliant on you, the listeners, patrons, to keep us going, to pay for the cost of production. If you can become a patron, sign up to whatever you can each month. And thank you for listening, and we will talk to you all soon.